Here comes Buck Cartwright.
All right, settle down, Charles.
Now,
Prescott, Charlie.
Here, sir.
Woodley, Nathaniel.
Adson.
Merriweather, Geraldine.
Present, sir.
Darcy, Agincourt, Smith, Reginald.
I'm here, sir.
All present, good. Now, first I want to deal with the examination papers of Geraldine and Charlie.
Oh, good. Oh,
Geraldine, good girl. You go to the top of the class.
Oh, thank you.
Charlie? Charlie goes to the bottom.
Oh, but sir...
Don't argue, boy. The reason for this is obvious. Geraldine's answers to the questions are eminently satisfactory. But...
There was an excerpt from Charlie's aunt. Another in our series, A Play to Remember, which may also help you to forget the next half hour.
Meanwhile, for those with a strong disposition, here is a sort of radio show which is beyond our ken. Among those taking part are Wimbledon champion Hubert Carraway, unseeded, Sybil Steck Pottington, the Customs and Excise Dodgem team, Sir Oliphant Castle, Miss Multimillionaire...
She's got a nice figure.
To continue. Lord Chief Justice Nicky the Greek. Amanda Wellworn. And, of course, Mr. Kenneth Horne, who prefers to remain anonymous. Ladies and gentlemen, Kenneth Horne.
Hello, good evening. This is Beyond Our Ken. And you're welcome to it. Well, now, let me, as usual, tell you some of the things that have happened since we last met. On Monday, I spent the day in the garden attending to my hydrangeas and lobelias and treating them with special chemicals. Mind, you've got to be careful with them, you know. Unfortunately, I got the chemicals mixed up and now my garden is full of hibelias and lobelias. Tuesday, I ran into a friend of mine who'd just come back from China. He's a reporter, actually. And out there, he'd been working for a Chinese newspaper. Apparently, one day, one of the Chinese reporters got a big scoop and rushed into the office shouting,
"Hold the back page! Hold the back page!"
On Wednesday, nothing very exciting happened, but on Thursday... Well, on Thursday, I saw the Tuesday joke about hold the back page. On Friday, I was going to look over a factory that made curds, but I couldn't find the way. So instead, I motored down to West Grinstead, which, of course, is just west of East Grinstead. It was a good road, and I've got a wonderful new driving system now. I go through the town to avoid the bypasses. On Saturday, well, quite honestly, I've been dreading Saturday. In a weak moment, I'd agreed to have my two little nephews, Timothy and Rufus, over for the day. Now, let's see.
Yes, can I ask you a riddle once again?
Oh, all right, Rufus.
What's got four legs, feathers, and looks like a train?
Four legs, feathers, and looks like a train. Oh, I don't know what.
A feather page.
Feather page with the feathers. See?
Well, now, just a minute. Where does the chain come in?
Houston.
Did you get it?
No.
Well, catch the next one.
I don't think that's very funny.
Well, you can talk. We've heard that show of yours.
Yeah, that does it. Now, off to bed, the pair of you.
Oh, no.
Well, what? All right, then. Another half hour if you promise to be good.
Here, tell us a story, Uncle Kenny.
We like your stories, Uncle Ken. Give us that one about the actress and the bishop.
Rufus!
Here. Here, I know what, Uncle. Give us the Hollywood version of the Three Little Bears.
The Hollywood version? I don't think I know that.
Once upon a time, there were three little bears. Mama Bear, Papa Bear, and a baby bear by a previous marriage.
Yeah!
Now, that's enough, Timothy. Now, what you really want is an exciting adventure yarn. I'll tell you a daring out-of-doors story.
I'd rather have a daring dine-a-doors story.
No, you would not. Now, look. Something like, well, Robin Hood.
Oh, yeah, both of them.
Nice.
Well,
nice, that is.
This? Now then, boys, this is a story about someone like Robin Hood, a fearless outlaw called Robin Horn. Once upon a time, in Sherwood Forest... Yes, little Fred?
Listen. Is that not the bird that has kept us awake all night?
Yea, it is. Hand me my bow and quiver.
Why, I'm not frightened.
Yea, verily, I'm glad we got that one out of the way early. Now then, hand me my bow, and don't thou dare sayest you mean the little clip-on one with the polka dots on it.
Oh, fain, I would not, sire, but which bow do you require? Your stout bow made of good English yew, or the foreign one?
The foreign one?
Yes, sire, the one with a slight twang.
I want my English bow. Now, where is the bird?
Just over there, Robin, in those bushes.
Now watch this, little Fred.
Good job, Robin. I will fetch the Oh, Robin, look what you have done.
What?
You shot Percy Edwards. You know what this means?
A knighthood, perhaps.
Come, Robin, let us return post haste to our camp. Hast thou forgotten the feast? Robin, where is our camp?
Well, I don't know. Methinks perhaps we've camouflaged it too well.
Yes. And methinks it was not such a good idea of yours to have us all in suits of Richard Green.
Wait, wait. Is it not through that clearing? Yay, look. There is my merry band.
Ah, sire, your faithful rupee drawers.
The word is troubadour. Oh, I don't know, though. That's not.
Hello, Robin.
Greetings, Alan O'Dale.
Oh, look at him, Robin. He's always writing things in that little book of his.
Ah, yes, the famous Alan O'Dale's diary. What's up today, Alan?
Today, the band and I did capture this lovely wench here.
Forsooth, methinks tis. Yea, verily, tis. Pat Lancaster.
Simply knocked me for a loop. Now, I fished me till you fished me from the soup. Now, together we can weather anything. So please don't matter if I should matter. Oh, I pray, I pray, future, all plans. No more clouds in the sky. How am I riding? I'm riding high. Because I'm feeling so happy, happy, I'm glad. So ring bells, sing songs, blow a horn, beat songs. Our love never will die. How am I riding? I'm riding high. Ring bells, sing songs, blow a horn, beat songs. Our love never will die. How am I riding?
Would I say, jolly nice, Pat. I like Ivanovella music.
Come, Robin, your merry men are waiting. Hey! Why, Tuck, here is Robin.
Watch your cock.
More respect for our leader, you venerable old windbag.
What? Think ourselves lucky, little friend. If it were a few years ago, we would have had a bout with the quarterstaff. Alas, that is not possible now.
And why not?
Well, you just can't get the staff these
days. Friar Tuck, is the feast prepared?
Yea, Robin, though I'm a little worried about the haunch of venison on the stick.
Well, what's the matter with it?
I think it's looking high, high, high.
Robin, Robin!
What is it, Will? Oh,
there's someone coming.
Perhaps it's another party of Norman soldiers.
Then we must be careful. Remember the last time we encountered those Norman devils?
Yes, how wise and cunning they were. Just as we were about to do battle, they fell down and made us laugh.
A good example of Norman wisdom.
All right, to the trees.
Hold your fire! She's made Marion Rubin's fiancé.
His fiancé?
Well, that's what the producer said we had to say.
Ah, Maid Marion, how lovely you look. And what a beautiful wimple.
Maid Marion is known for her wimples.
Yes, I have them specially made in Barrett Street.
Come, Marion, join us in our feast.
Ah, I see you've been hunting deer.
Yes, darling. And you're welcome to join us.
Are you sure I'm not intruding? I mean, isn't it a stag party?
Nay, come on. Let us eat, drink, and... Well, let's eat and drink anyway.
First, I have prepared the steaming cauldron of tomato soup.
Well, Marion, do I not get a kiss?
No, Robin, please. Not in front of the men. It's embarrassing. Look at poor Will. He's gone silent.
No, I haven't. It's my reflection in the tomato soup.
Oh, come on, I'm starving. Let's dig in Dad's knee the leg.
By the way, Marion, in case you haven't met all my merry men, let me introduce them. Little Fred, Friar Tuck, Alan Adale, Will Scarlet, Will Stutely, and our honored guest, Sir Mellipont.
Sounds like a cast list for Beyond Our Ken. How do you do?
There you are, you see, Marion. You're always welcome here.
Oh, I love Sherwood. And I feel so safe here. All your men with your sturdy bows of you. The fearless Sir Mellipont. And Alan Adale with his harp. Oh, it's heavenly. You and the night and the music.
Come then, let us have some music. Alan Adale.
I'm afraid I've lost my harp. I think it was at that garden place thrown by Lady Gisbury.
Oh, don't tell us you left your harp in an English garden.
No, it's all right. I've got it. We were using it to slice the hard-boiled egg. Here it is.
Good. Now then, Alan Adale, put down that wretched diary and play us something.
All right. I've been awfully worried about Jim.
That's quite enough, thank you.
Robin, yes? Come over here and let us sit together on this log.
What, here?
Yes. Now you shall have your kiss.
Oh, you're pretty hot stuff, Marion.
Oh, and you too, Robin. You make me smolder. Kiss me again. Robin.
Oh, you.
I say, you two, I suppose you realize that log you're sitting on is a fire. Yes. Well, merry men, what say we all adjourn?
Robin, look, an arrow.
And there's something tied to it.
It's a man.
By my harridan, sir, it is. Tell me, sir, who are you?
I'm the sheriff of Nottingham.
Well, my lord sheriff, did you have a good flight?
Yes, that golden arrow is jolly good. Hello, Robin Hood. Ah, this is your temper, outlawed. You rotten lot of varlets.
Don't you speak to my men like that. They're a bunch of lovely, sweet varlets.
Oh, no, don't mess not down. Now, look here, Robin Hood. Why don't you ever pay your taxes?
I don't use taxes. I go by horse.
Oh, I know what I mean. Anyway, your camp is surrounded by my men. You must give in. You hear me? You must give in!
No, Robin, don't ever give in.
Well, you should talk.
My lord sheriff, we will fight. I have more men hidden in the trees. I'll call them. There, 348 merry men. And how many men have you, Sheriff?
Six. Now, let's see now. 348, and six in that load. One hurry, one head, two back. Oh, here I say, we're outnumbered.
Then, I'm afraid, Sheriff, it's an abbreviated Nottingham to you.
And not to you, too.
Take your man and get out of here.
All right, but listen, I can't go back the way I come.
Well, very well, you can borrow my horse.
Thank you. Oh, what a lovely pair of coconut shells.
Bill Goodzolly. Ooh!
Well done, Robin.
Robin, if this is to be a real happy ending, don't you think? That is a honeymoon.
Oh, all right, Marion. Fain would I ask your hand in marriage.
Then fain would I accept.
Well, man, this is the end of my roving. I shall take my new bride home with me to Huntingdon, and there we shall live on my parents' estate.
Oh, no, thank you, Robin. I wish to live here in Sherwood Forest.
But, Marion, why?
Because I prefer your outlaws to your in-laws.
And now for our own Sterling Minstrels, four people who are very partial to the lute, the Fraser Hayes Four.
Where has the Vincent Sackler been on every Mubbatan? Where has the Vincent Sackler been? Where has the Vincent Sackler been on every Mubbatan? On every Mubbatan? On every Mubbatan?
I say, Tony, pass me the finger bowl. Sorry, old chap, I've just eaten the last finger.
You greedy swine.
Then we shall all have eaten thee on Ilfi Mubbatan. Then we shall all have eaten thee. Then we shall all have eaten thee on Ilfi Mubbatan. On Ilfi Mubbatan. On Ilfi
And so to the Kenneth Horne documentary feature, Horne-a-Rama. Yes, once again, Kenneth Horne and his team of investigators bring you a factual report on topics of immediate interest. And this week we present a close-up on motoring. Are the millions of pounds spent on new cars worth it?
Or is it money for jam? First of all, let's talk to one or two motorists. You, sir. You have a new car, I believe.
That is so, yes. A super streamlined four-seater saloon.
Can you give us any details?
Oh, yes, I can, certainly, yes. Independent suspension, synchro mesh gears, hydraulic braking system, tubeless tires, shock absorbers, first-class transmission, to say nothing of the extras. Special gadgets and all those sorts of things.
Yes. Extra gadgets, such as?
Oh, such things as pressure gauges, spot lamps, wireless... Other things like cedarwood dashboards, spring mirrors, concealed ashtrays, and one most unusual device, specially fitted windscreen wipers.
But most cars have windscreen wipers.
Yes, but these are inside.
Now then, here's a lady driver who I followed this morning. Madam. You went down Regent Street on the wrong side, round Piccadilly Circus four times, and ended up on the pavement inches from a store window. What possible explanation can you have?
Well, I washed the car this morning and can't do a thing with it.
Well, we motorists owe a great debt to those familiar figures on the roads of Britain, the motoring patrolmen. We're privileged to have one with us tonight, and a delightful old character he is, too. Good evening, sir. Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening to you, sir. Great honor to be here tonight, and thank you.
Thank you very much. No, sir. I'm not quite finished yet.
Oh, yes.
Now, sir. I believe you're with a famous motoring organization that we're not allowed to mention.
Aye.
Look, sir, never mind. Tell us, sir.
Yes.
How long have you been on motorbike patrol?
About 35 years.
How long?
35 years I've been. And in all that time, sir, I've had to deal with something like 943 breakdowns.
943.
943.
Well, that's really amazing.
No, not really. It's the rotten old bikes they give us.
Well, now, for those who are everyday road users, there can be very little pleasure to be gained from driving, but quite often one comes across a real enthusiast who takes a great pride in his vehicle.
Hello, Rodney.
Hello, Charles. I say, what a beauty. Brand new, isn't it?
Yes, Horace. Rodney Mark II. Well, the old one has certainly had it, you know.
I'm not surprised the way you drive.
No, don't be like that, Rodney. Tell me, what do you think of the colour scheme?
I'm mad about it. Nerve and fuse.
Absolutely jolly, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And notice how carefully I've chosen my things to go with it.
I know. Lemon chair cap and a long woolly scarf and cerise and midnight blue.
Right. Oh, good. I'm glad to think so, Rodders. Only one or two people have been giving me rather odd looks this morning.
Well, Jane, you're never proud of it, envious. Besides, I bet they soon get out of the way when they see you coming.
You bet they do.
Mm. Oh, you know, Todd, I sometimes envy you myself.
Oh, don't be silly, Rodders.
I do.
Oh,
yes.
Go on.
Well, after all, it's not everyone that gets the chance to drive a steamroller.
With so many motorists using the roads of Britain, law and order has to be maintained. Let us not forget, then, the ever-watchful eye kept by those high-powered police cars equipped with radio linked to headquarters.
Calling car 22. Calling car 22. Come in, car 22.
Car 22 reporting.
Oh, there you are, at last, car 22. You haven't answered all morning. What's the matter? Was it something I said?
Those of us who drive cars are inclined to take them for granted. Hardly ever do we stop to think of the skilled workmanship that has produced the gleaming mechanical wonder we own. We sent our own commentator, Cecil Smith, to a famous motor manufacturer in the Midlands.
Yes, listeners, this week I've been sent to Coventry. I'm standing, actually, in this vast factory where I've been watching the whole process of car manufacture. And what an incredible process it is. I've seen cars rolling off the assembly lines at the rate of 14 an hour. And I feel there would have been even more if some of them hadn't rolled off the assembly line. At this very moment, I'm standing by the huge mechanical conveyor belt down which the unfinished bodies come at high speed for their last strain and polishing before making their way to the markets of the world. I must say, though, that... Oh, the belt has stopped running for some reason. Well, perhaps I can catch this opportunity to have a closer look at the vehicles. The model I'm standing by... And this is Cecil, two-tone, Smith, returning here to the studio.
Finally, let us pay tribute to the skill and patience of that fearless character, the driving instructor. What a pity, then, so many husbands decide that they can do the job themselves.
Well, then, Felicity, if you just do exactly what I tell you, everything will be all right.
Oh, sorry, all right? Darling, yes, but you must be patient.
Well, of course I will, you silly old faggot. Start the engine. Good. Now, into gear, nice and smoothly. Put your foot on the clutch first.
I'm sorry, Andrew.
Oh, you stupid old fool. You mustn't forget anything when you're driving a car. Now, do it properly. Now, that's it. Now, we can sit it right. Get your foot off the clutch, you know, easy. Ambrosia.
You forgot the Ambrose, didn't you?
Yes, Ambrose, I'm terribly sorry.
Don't you remember anything, you buffoon?
Yes,
but a memory like a sea.
I'll try again, my darling.
All right, but don't forget anything this time. That's it. Now forward. Slowly. I forgot to open the garage door.
Well, there you are. There'll be another Hornorama next week when the subject will be florists. What do you send them when they're ill? Also, next week's program, there'll be a talk on the evolution of fish entitled Fins Ain't What They Used to Be. We'll be giving you the recipe for the new Boy Scout cocktail. Very potent. Just one of them and an old lady helps you across the road. And there'll be an excerpt from a new film which deals with the tribulations of a rock and roll singer and called The Trials of Mark Wilde. So until next week at the same time, this is Kenneth Horne saying goodbye for now and leaving you with this thought from a listener aged 13 who asks, is the little man who drives the train in Paris called a metronome? Good night. You have either been listening to or have just missed Beyond Our Ken, a sort of recorded radio show which gave employment to Kenneth Horne and also to Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddock, Betty Marsden, Bill Pertwee, Pat Lancaster, the Fraser Hayes Four, and the BBC Variety Orchestra conducted by Paul Fennelly. The script, believe it or not, was written, and letters of complaint should be sent to Eric Merriman. However, the onus must inevitably fall on our producer, Jake Brown.